Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Call upon your Holy Spirit to guide us in the things we are going to share. That your presence may be real with us, quickening the word to us, that we may be able to receive it and apply it to our lives, Lord. The Lord may produce fruit in us and transform us by your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted just to start saying that I have uploaded two last recordings from the last 2 weeks. First one was like father, like sons. And the second one is inheriting your birthrights. So if with that, we are really up to date. Sometimes I have a problem with my connection and takes me time to upload it, but I was able to do it finally. Okay, so why we're going to continue what we started last week with 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to push a bit further. There are some important concepts and ideas there that we need to appreciate and apply to ourselves. So I'm going to start reading from where I read last time, verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, and Jesus our Lord. So remember, the knowledge there is not just the mental knowledge, but it's, the Greek is epignoskon, which actually means to, the full discernment and understanding of what of God and of Jesus. And it says that in his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Again, goes the knowledge there is again is epignosko, which actually is the implication is not just to know about Jesus, but is to know, to have his knowledge, to have his understanding about scriptures and about the truth, who called us to glory and virtue. Now, this is a word that we are going to look at it in a while, bit later. So this is what God calls us to have. God called us to glory and virtue. He wants us to receive those things. All right. By which these things, he has given us exceedingly, this knowledge of him, by his knowledge of him, he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is actually a divine disposition. The way we operate is not the fleshy way, but is the way of God operating. All right? having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So really it's the desire, it's our desire that produces the problem. And through God's promises, through God's exceedingly precious promises, we get over our fleshy desires, because we get more than satisfied with what God provides for us, for all the things that give us for life and godliness. Hallelujah. See, everything that we need, we have. It's been given to us. We just have to realize that we got it. And then start appreciating it and start operating in the level. The message I was mentioning before, inheriting our birthrights. The idea there was the fact that when we are born again, we become part of a king family. We become kings and priests. Okay, but the fact that we are that way doesn't give us the birthright automatically. We have a part we play in appropriating and receiving them and putting it into manifestation in our life. And so this part that we had to play is important because that makes the difference between us experiencing them or not experiencing them. But first of all, we had to realize what we got. And we says here, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Hallelujah. I mean, everything. So we, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Amen? So if we don't want, that means, you know, that our needs are met, that we are satisfied. And if we're not, then we had to realize that we had to push in because the one that took them away is the enemy. He's the one that comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. And so this is what we had to enforce. And there is a part we play. And the way we do this enforcing is by faith. We believe what we said before, the precious promises that God gave us, so that we look at the promises and say, this is mine, because God gave it to me. Because God said that this is God's will for me to receive. If God said it, then that means that that's what he meant, and so that's what should be, he wants to manifest it, but he's not going, he can more than giving it to us, he cannot do anything else. What we have to do is to receive it. You know, I can give you something, but if you don't take it, you don't have it. All right. So, overcoming the lust, the lack, the fact that the missing, the inability, insufficiency, everything that is negative and lacking in the world, we have because God has given it to us. But you have a part to play in receiving it. And so, and then goes on to explain what the part is. But also for this very reason. So that's the reason. Giving all diligence. You see, there has to be not just, I'm going to do it, you know, in an academical way. No, there has to be all diligence that we put into that. Because the enemy doesn't give up that easy. You know, he just likes to take things away. And so we had to enforce God's will on him. And God chose to do that way. And so, you know, there is, if you see everything the way Jesus did it, it was the same way. Anyway, the idea is that, you know, we give all diligence, adding to your faith virtue. You know, mentioning before. So, it starts with faith. You have to start faith. Faith, what is faith? Faith is simply believing what God says. Okay? Taking a position in what God says and says, yes, I believe it. But, you know, not just believe it because we agree mentally with it. Is that we agree, we really believe it to the point that we are ready to stand on that and not give in. Stand firm on that position and say, this is mine because God said is mine. And when it doesn't appear to be that way, we just keep pushing. We just keep affirming what God said. We keep agreeing with God. We can keep confessing the word. We can keep standing on it. We can stand there until it comes to pass. Now I'm not going to give all the description, but let's continue here for the time being. So giving all this to add to your faith, virtue. You know, virtue is a word that I have some problems sometimes with. Because, you know, it just reminds me of the virtuous woman. You know, and doesn't fit the actual Greek word that is used for this. The word virtue in Greek origin from manhood, which is opposite of what is saying there. It's actually could be translated almost virility. Which actually, but that's applied to the spiritual sense. So he's talking about spiritual strength. That's what virtue is. It's not just being looking pious. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? See, spiritual strength to stand in a manly way, or in a virile way, is in a fighting way against the enemy. See, that's why it goes with faith, because faith is just making that decision to believe, and then you don't stop just believing, you start fighting for it. Are you following that? You know, many Christians are so wishy-washy, and they just think everything is falling from the sky, when instead God is saying, you know, wake up. You have a part to play in the battle. The battle is won, but you had to take it. You had to go with it. You had to realize what you got, and you had to take what is yours. See, the inheritance that they talk about, the message from last time, you know, the inheritance of your birthrights. This is what has to happen. Okay, let's keep going here. It gets better all the time. And to virtue, knowledge. Now, knowledge is the fact, you know, if you don't know what you should be getting, you are not going to get it. You know, but this is actually spiritual knowledge. It's actually not just mental knowledge. This is actually experiential knowledge. So it's not just that you know something mentally. It's that you actually have, you know, it's like when you know a person. You don't know a person because, you know, you can describe the shape of the face or stuff like that. No, you know a person because you have a relationship with that person. That's the type of knowledge that, you know, we have a spiritual relationship with God and the scriptures and the things that to do with within for our life, with the scripture, the impact that has on us. Are you following me? You see, that's the thing that makes the difference. It's not agreeing on theological points. Generally, theologians don't get miracles. The reason is because they have things in the mind. See, that's the problem with the way Christianity has evolved. It became just a theology. Jesus didn't come to give us theology. He came as a relationship. He came so that we can connect with God and God can connect with us and we have an intimate relationship with Him and with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us in a personal way. All right. So, where am I? Here. Knowledge. To virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. You see, after you have the experience, you have to be able to stand on the position you have. Otherwise, nothing happens. You see, it's not that doesn't, just because you wish something doesn't, or even want something doesn't happen. You have to take that position and control yourself, control the attacks of the enemy, the idea, the thoughts, the experiences that come that are contrary. You know, you don't get right away all the time what you want. But you can get it if you don't give up. You see, so there is self-control, is really taking charge of yourself and not that yourself pushed around by the things around you. To self-control, perseverance. Well, that says it, isn't it? You have to be determined and you have to keep pushing. See, this is how you actually achieve. Remember, you know, sometimes we take a scripture and forget the scripture that comes before and the one that comes after. Always the scriptures go together with, you have to read the whole thing and put them together and make them work together. And he's talking about how we can have all things for life and godliness. So this is the way you do it. All right? And to, you know, perseverance, godliness. I mean, do things God's way, not worldly way. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. See, this is one of the components that you have to always remember. The fact that you have, understanding doesn't make you better than others. You have to just be loving to others. Even the ones that are difficult to love. And to brotherly kindness, love, which is really agape, that is to do with, unconditionally dealing with others in a benevolent way. It has nothing to do with being affectionate. It's nothing to do with feeling lovey. It has to do with doing loving things. All right. Now, and this is comes the icing on the cake. For if these things are yours and abound, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, see, this is a promise, isn't it? God doesn't promise stuff and then doesn't work. All right? The promise of the God, are ye and amen, isn't it? So this is a big promise. So you do these things. I mean, so there is a condition there for the promises to become, for us to experience all the things that we have for life and godliness. It's been given to us, but we had to take them. And that's the way we take. We take, there are those things that we had to put in place in our life. Now, say, oh, but this seems like a lot of work. Oh, lazy guy. You just had to do something. I mean, it's provided to you all this. There is a part you have to play. At least play your part. All right? Now, so we are not going to be barren nor unfruitful in what the Lord teaches us, in the knowledge of the Lord experiences. That's pretty good. We are going to get what God promises, essentially. And then goes on, and there's a little corrective part there. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Today, everybody wants immediate gratification. That is being short-sighted. Okay? Because things, it doesn't happen instantaneously. Everything, that this doesn't work. Well, did you give it the time? Did you do all those things that we mentioned before? To bring about the manifestation and the fulfillment of God's promise. Okay, so there is you have to look beyond 5 inches from your nose to be able to see the thing coming. Or maybe, not just immediately, but you have to work toward that. Okay? That's the problem. If we want immediate results, and sometimes they come. I'm not against immediate results. When they come, praise the Lord, and we have a glory fit. And that's fine. That's not a problem. The point is, doesn't happen all the time, and this is the exception, it's not the rule. And the reason why it's the exception, because through the other process, you develop, your spiritual strength and your ability to fight, and you become a mighty warrior for the Lord. All right. So, lack of these things, you're short-sighted even to blindness. That says it all, isn't it? And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You see, that's the problem. The sins, the old sins, are memories of the things that we did wrong before are still affecting us, and we forgot about the fact that these things have lost the power over us. We are free. Because the Son set free is free indeed. Hello? Are you free? Yes. Amen. That's good. So, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. See, the present truth is different from the truth of before. Now, the present truth then is present truth now, because nothing is changed. All right? He's talking about the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. You know, I'm amazed. Yesterday I was reading this book on some prophetic statements on what was going to happen in the future. You know, and the whole thing looked like reading the Old Testament to me. There was just the same mentality of Old Testament prophecy. We are in the New Testament now. We have a better covenant. We have better promises. We should be, you know, the least. Jesus said, the least in the kingdom, we are in the kingdom now, is better than any, you know, the least is better than any big prophet on the Old Testament. Hello? So we don't need to go and learn from them. We don't need the mantle of the Old Testament. We have the mantle of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We don't need a mantle outside. We have it inside. I mean, you know, the mantle can always come off. And that's what did. It was on and off. In us, we cannot get it off because it's inside. And so wherever you go, he goes. Next topic is the Holy, you know, the Helper. The Lord is preparing that. But anyway, are you following what I'm saying? We have to recognize, I mean, it sounded really so spiritual, this stuff, but actually it wasn't, you know, because it was so useless. Anyway. So that's, we are in New Testament. Remember what Jesus has done and what has provided for us and what we have. And don't get short-sighted, okay, in the things. Just understand, you know, this scripture should be up on, you know, the mirror in your bathroom. You know, just every morning you have to look at it and say, okay, I had to make sure I do these things. Make sure I remember. Make sure I'm not short-sighted. I can see, you know, in the future what's going to happen because the Word says so. And I stand on that. And just by itself, that gives you strength. See, but if you forget, see, that's why we get short-sighted. We get short-sighted because we look at circumstances instead of looking at the Word. The power is in the Word, not the circumstances. You know, sometimes even positive circumstances can get you off on a tangent because, you know, at the moment works, so you get all excited. The following day, it doesn't work so well, and you get all deflated. You don't go by the physical, you go by the spiritual, so you cannot move. You stand there on the Word. It's the Word that gives you the strength, not the results. The results are going to be there anyway. Praise the Lord. So there is, you know, that brings us to a place. And this is a place that we are all every day with the Lord. And that place is decision. It's a place of decision. Okay? See, that's what makes the difference. We had to make some decisions. And the decision, you see, if the Word doesn't make us make a decision, then has not done the job that he has to do in us. Everything that we hear from God has to have an impact on us. And that impact has to do with our ability to apply the Word to us and to make a decision to line up with it and the changes that it's going to bring about, in which we want to start to stand on. Okay? That's the decision we have to make. So, in Romans chapter 8. And, you know, that's a chapter you have to always go back anyway. But that is really where the much of the power of God is, you know. And says, verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. It was today, there was a prophetic word there reminding us, you know, that the spirit, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has given us, you know, victory over the spirit of law and death. Okay? The law of sin and death. That's the idea. And the idea is that really, you see, is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that give us the power, give us the victory. Victory over sin, victory over everything. All right? So this is really continuing on that line because that was verse 2, I think, yes. So, and then goes on into verse 11 that it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. You see, Jesus' resurrection is pointing us to something. The fact that he overcame, the fact that he was resurrected, shows us something that applies to us. See, this is really possibly the biggest struggle that lots of people have today about not believing in the resurrection. You know, Paul said it very clearly that if you don't believe in the resurrection, you are still in your sins. And I saw, you know, statement from leaders, Christian leaders of denominations say that they are really, you know, they have difficulty in believing it. Well, I think they should change job. Because they are still in their sins, aren't they? I mean, according to Paul, not my idea. Anyway, so, but the idea is, you know, since there is this is, you know, a couple of things here. Do you believe the scriptures? I mean, what does it mean to believe the scriptures? I mean, it's what it said. They say you believe it. If you don't believe it, then you don't have anything. You don't call yourself a Christian. Okay? As simple as, you know, that's the bottom line. Okay? Because you don't have anything. I mean, you just can be a philosopher or you can be, you know, an intellectual or you can be, you know, quotation marks, a spiritual person, but isn't a spiritual something. Okay? The simple thing is that, you know, you had to believe the scripture because that's the basis for everything, and we had to look at the scripture as our source. See, the enemy, the world, what he does, the things that he tries to do is to put doubts into people about the scriptures. And if he succeeds in doing that, it takes the soil behind underneath you, and you have nothing left to stand on. So either you believe the scripture, and you make that decision. Number one, you make the decision to believe the scriptures. I mean, the part that you are comfortable with and the part you are not comfortable with. You know, because there are maybe some parts are difficult for you to do because the flesh. All right? So, you believe the scriptures. You make that decision. So, you see, that's the first decision you make. And then you believe that Jesus was resurrected because the scripture said that Jesus was resurrected. And because Jesus said he was resurrected, you know, you are settled about those two things. Psalm 119 says, you know, that script is, the word is settled in heaven. Last Thursday night, I was sharing how, you know, it's settled in heaven, but it's not settled on earth. And we have a part to settle on earth, and that's to be settled within ourselves to start with. And we settle it by first believing it, accepting it, and start acting like it. And when we do that, we settle on earth. Because sooner or later, even if it's not doesn't match up our experience, it's going to match up our experience. Because this doesn't go back unto God void. He sent it, and he's going to accomplish what he sent it for. See, the whole thing is a whole. It's not you can't take a piece because you like it. Another piece, well, you know, maybe not. The whole thing works together. Or nothing works. As simple as that. You have to take that position and then you're going to get the results. All right. So, Jesus' resurrection. You don't have the luxury to doubt stuff. Because doubt is sin. You see? Doubt is sin. Because it's not believing God. Period. So you have to deal with your doubt. Now, if you have areas in which you struggle, then it's your responsibility to go to those areas and find out and go to the Word and see what the Word says so that you know what you have to believe. It's not that you have to believe anything because lots of stuff are thought that are not really true anyway. It's the truth. It's what really the Word says, not what is thought. Okay. All right. So, the idea, the bottom line, you know, that we are heir with Christ. And our inheritance is something that we had to appropriate. So, we had to follow the steps. If we follow the steps that I just finished reading before and understand what is involved then and believe the Word, then automatically things are going to work out for us. Our life is going to be changed. We are going to be transformed. See, the transformation that took place, you know, is not trying to be good. Trying to be good is doing within your own flesh. It's allowing the Word to change you is by the renewal of the mind that we achieve and understand and prove the will of God. See, first you have to find the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, how can you prove anything? So, but once you found the will of God, then you can prove it by actually allowing your mind to be transformed, to line up, and so that you start acting like the Word instead of acting like the world. Okay. So therefore, verse 12, after verse 11, Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit of, and this is talking spiritually, but physically too. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you see, this is giving us the picture here, you know, we, and you know, led by the Spirit of God, that's something that we are going to see much more in detail in the next series. I think there is a lot of confusion about that, and it's not really the way it works because of the way it was taught. And we had to clarify some things so that it becomes much easier to do what God says. You know, when you do the Word, you do follow the Spirit. Because the Word is Spirit and life. Okay? That makes life a lot easier than going by voices. Okay? That doesn't mean that you cannot get voices. But when you get them, you make sure that you check them out with the Word. Because you get lots of voices in the head. You just go around, you hear everything. You just go on the internet and you see any type of garbage that you can ever imagine called Christianity. Okay, so. All right. So, we had to actually understand that we have a part we play, and we had to be led according to the Spirit of God and not according to the flesh. Okay. Well, that was nothing new. I mean, even in the Old Testament, is that if you remember, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth and witness today before you that you have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you both, you and your descendant, may live. So the idea is that we had to choose life. Evidently, to choose life, we had to know the difference. And the way we know the difference is by simply going to the Word. When the Word says this is life, then we go that direction. When the Word says this is death, we just turn around. Simple. You know, things are not really complicated. Believers make them complicated. Okay? Or others that like to write books so that they can make money. Anyway, it's another story. Okay. So, what is really the bottom line here? You know, if you go to 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil. That means, you know, who does things that are contrary to the word of God is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So, you see, if you see what Jesus did, the way he walked, the way he operated, it's clear what he did. You know, he just went around messing up all the works of the devil. He was healing people, delivering people, setting them free, and finally, you know, dying for their sins so that they can be free from the impact of them. So that's really the things that he did, and those are be the things that we do. Exactly the same thing, you know. We should make a decision within ourselves, among the other, you know, talking about decision. We are still talking about decisions. Remember, it's just, you know, decisions that we make. And so one of the decisions we make is to walk away from sin, walk away from sickness, walk away from bondage. I mean, you don't start taking drugs so that you get, you know, get into bondage, or any other things, you know. It could be food, or it can be drinking, or it can be anything, gambling, sex, or whatever. You still there? Amen. You know, the idea, you know, we make things so complicated, say that, you know, are pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Okay, we had to just simply take seriously what the Word of God says. Okay? We choose to live the kind of life that God prescribed for us to live. When we do that, we can only be blessed. And we can do that kind of life if you apply what is said, you know, in 2 Peter chapter 1 with the scripture that I finished reading to you. There are things that, you know, you have to work on, things that you have to develop, because in the world, the flesh is lazy and wants to do the things that are wrong. So we have to train the flesh to do the things that are right, because we make the decision, not our flesh, not our mind. This is not being religious. It's the opposite of being religious, because religious people are fleshy. All right. So we choose the path of life and not the path of death. Now, that was already said in the Old Testament. It's not something new, isn't it? So he was already prescribing the Old Testament. The thing is, in the Old Testament, didn't really tell you what to do. You know, you have to go through these ceremonies. You know, the ceremonies don't do anything. But they had to be on the only thing, you see, they were not born again. They were not, everything was physical. Well, you know, decisions are not physical, are spiritual. And when you implement them, they become physical. Because you choose between what you do and what you don't do. But the origin, see, the same thing, sin is not what you do. Real sin is because you make the choice to break what God says not to do. And so it's a spiritual thing that happens before you do it. That's why Jesus said, you know, if you look at a woman, you know, with lustful eyes, you already committed adultery. Hello? So we have to understand these things and start to go along with this instead of going around in the Old Testament way, because there is no victory there. If there was victory in the Old Testament, then Jesus didn't need to come. But he came. Amen? Amen. And he got the victory for us. Praise the Lord. Some truth were already there. I mean, most of the truth was there already, you know. You know, read some of the Psalms, and you can see that many of the promises were already there. You know, who forgive all my diseases, who heal all my iniquities. I mean, it's pretty clear. But they couldn't do it because, you know, by killing bulls, wouldn't do that. All right. So you had to make a decision. You had to make it the life, you had to choose the life you're going to walk. And you had to, you see, there is one thing, okay, and that is something the Christian should realize. Okay, selfishness and self-centeredness is a big problem. Because it keeps us focused on the wrong thing. Focus trying to get things. Well, Jesus, you know, Paul said very clearly, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So one of the ways to really, one of the things that we had to make sure is that we start focusing not on ourselves so much, but focus on others and see what we can do for others. If we can, the more we can do for others, the more we are going to get ourselves, because this is the law of sowing and reaping. Okay? So we had to, those laws are working, you know, there is no way. They've been always working. Okay? This is not a New Testament thing. This is a universal thing. This is a law that God put in place. Okay? But the point is, you know, the idea is that unless we operate according to these principles and we don't understand this principle, we are going to get caught up in our flesh that is going to always hide the truth from us. We have to realize that the more we do for others, the more we are going to get ourselves, but we don't do it because we want to get ourselves. We do it because we have the heart of God. Because that's the way God, because we are the children of our Father. You know, like Father, like sons. Remember that. He wants us to be liberating like he does. And when we does, we are his little children, and he looks after us. He takes care of us. He's a loving Father. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So, we had to learn to do that. We had to learn to love others. And we had to live, you know, according, you know, with Jesus' righteousness operating in us, so that we forget about the flesh and deal with this stuff properly. You know, we choose life all the time. We choose the Word, because the Word is life. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And we just had hardly the time to. May we finish? I don't know. Let's see. Okay, chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now, as in my presence, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What do you mean? I've been saved already? Well, evidently, there's something to work out. Amen? See, that's the question of getting our, you know, getting into our inheritance. There is more than that. I mean, you know, even we can always, if you remember what we've just finished reading before, you know, that if we forget to do those things, we are short-sighted, okay? And if we abound, we are going to be producing all the things that God wants to do in us. But if we are not, then we are short-sighted and we are going to get nowhere, okay? And we have, we are not going to be successful or fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you remember, did I read that? I don't know. You know, verse 2 Peter 1:10 says, you know, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make our call and election. I think I skipped that verse. Maybe that was the time when I had to put it in now. You see, the Holy Spirit brought it back to me. I mean, I skipped the verse. It was critical, okay, of the things I wanted to say, because now is the time to put it in. And so I read it now. Therefore, brethren, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. You know, before I said be with all diligence. How can you be more diligent than all diligence? Well, I don't know, but there has to be a way. All right? You be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do all these things, you will never stumble. Hallelujah. Did you get that? I mean, you see, there are two implications there. If you are not doing that, okay, then you are not making your call and election sure. So much for once saved, always saved. Hello? Doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, what it's talking about? Okay? The fact that we had to work, keep working properly so that we are going to make our call and election sure. What call and what election? To be sons of God. God wants us to be His sons, His children, operating as sons of God today, doing the things that Jesus did. See, like Father, like sons. Jesus is our example. Praise the Lord. Okay. That was good. I got it. So now we can read this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says there, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also my motion, more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and tremblings. If it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Now, how is it God working through you? You see, this is some of the other junk that needs to be removed. You know, He's not trying to work in you by giving you trouble and problems. See, God is working in you to do His good pleasure. So as you open up to what the Lord says to do, as you obey the Scriptures and you start doing the Scriptures, God is going to work through you to achieve His purposes. He's not working through you to fix you up and give you some diseases so that you can get better. This is not what it's saying, but that's what often is interpreted. God is working through you as you are doing the things that you should be doing to bring you to achieve the purposes in your life and to fulfill your call as sons and to make you grow in the person that you need to be, because this is His will for you. That doesn't mean that you go around doing all the wrong thing. It means that you are doing all the right thing. Hallelujah. See, as you walk in faith, and do the works of God, then God achieves His good pleasure. How do you please God? There's only one way. By faith. So how do you, what is he talking about? By faith, you apply the word to your life and you're getting get the results that God wants, and this is pleasing God because you do that by faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Good. Okay, well, we are on the same wavelength, I think. Now, there is one thing I wanted to tell, and it is coming on the following verse, so you give me a few, couple of more minutes. So, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You know, there is something that really ticks God off, and it's people complaining. We can see that in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old New Testament, you know, he's bound by what he has done, so he is not going to do too much, but he's not going certainly to bless you. See, people this, you know, say, why me? Or why it takes so long? You know, because you ask those questions, it takes longer. Honestly. Because, you know, those questions indicate that you are not working in faith. You know, if lots of people realize sometimes they come to the Lord and some of the problems that they start experiencing they didn't have before. And so they get starting asking, why me and stuff like that. The point is, you know, there is a promise that should get you excited instead of getting turned off. And the promise is that what it says, that you are not going to be tempted more than you can handle. So if you are tempted in some way, that means that God believes that you can handle that and you can beat it and you can move on. So when you are tempted, it looks like, well, this is really big, you know, it's more than I got before. Instead of getting complaining and says, why me? Says, hallelujah, I can beat that. Are you still there with me? I hope so. That's the truth. Okay? The more we learn to see, this is part of the process that in 2 Peter that I was talking about, you know, perseverance and all these other things, virtue, you know, I'm going to fight it. Amen? All right. Well, I think that, let's finish another verse. You're going to be kind to me, yeah? You have no option anyway. Okay, so Philippians 2:15 says, that you may become blameless. You see, when you do without complaining and disputing, without, you know, don't ask the wrong question even, okay? I could show you actually verses that shows what I'm saying, you know, about God being ticked off. Because he was really ticked off with the Jews when they did that, okay? With us, doesn't can get too ticked off because he sent Jesus, so. Anyway, praise the Lord, you can rejoice that you are in New Testament, not Old Testament. Okay, but you may become blameless and harmless children or sons of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world. Hallelujah. You see, we are called to be the light of the world. You are, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So that's the way we are going to be light of the world. You know, when you know, go through stuff, and because you are in the world, and you just are there in victory with a smile from ear to ear, and, you know, with the fighting attitude and everything else, And the people look at you and say, this is either crazy or it's supernatural. And you say, I'm supernatural. Amen. That is how we overcome, holding fast to the word of life. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain for you. So really, you know, that's why it makes you shine in the word. It makes me rejoice too, because I didn't waste my time. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Okay, let's close in prayer today. Let's close with a good confession here. Praise the Lord. We confess with our mouth and are saved. Amen? Okay. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who you work because you work in me to achieve your good purpose. Let your word be real in my life, that I may follow and obey it, your ways, and I may prosper in all I do, because I'm your son, and you have victory in me through what you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.